This is spiritual growth. We're still on lesson two. Last page, page six. Anybody need a page six? Okay, one over there. Anybody else need a page six? Pass that down. That ain't gonna work. Page six, here we go. Did I see? Oh, okay. I saw Pam, but I know where she is. Okay. And there are several other reasons at the top of the page why spiritual growth does not get us into heaven. We should all realize by now that heaven and hell are not, we don't go to either heaven or hell, or people don't go to heaven or hell by anything they do except Christ as their Savior. And even that is limited to those people that God calls, because most of the world will not heed the natural inclination, the natural law that's written in their hearts. Does everybody get that? So the next time somebody says, well, he's going to hell because he did this and that, you say, correct him. No, he's going to hell simply because he refused to accept the sacrifice that God so graciously put out for them to take. Number one, every believer is decreed sanctified by God the Father. Every believer. Jude 1:1. That means every believer is sanctified, who the Father calls out. Jude 1:1. Let's go with June for Jude.
Jude number 1, verse 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's go with the King James. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Okay, so that makes it pretty clear, right? Mr. or Mrs. Arminian should realize that we're called to Christ and we're not stirred. We have to understand there's a difference. A stirring is something that Judas had. Judas never had a calling per se. He had a stirring, because his calling or his stirring was, had no idea or no intent of salvation being there. Your calling, if you know Christ, does. It had an intent of salvation. Also, number two, a believer is also sanctified by God, by God the Son, in the redemptive work which he performed for his elect people. Hebrews 10:14. By God the Son. Hebrews 10:14. Anne Marie.
Last time we did from 10:10.
Yeah, let's go 10:10 to 10:14. We didn't cover this, did we?
Yeah, that was the last thing we did.
Okay, well, let's do that.
And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet.
Okay, everybody see that? And what I like is 11. It says, every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. What does that bring to mind when you read that? The same sacrifices, they offer the same sacrifices which cannot take away sins. What goes through your mind when you read that? Right. It's the same sacrifices all the time, and it cannot remove sins. Right? Okay.
She didn't finish.
That's okay. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's so you can sleep tonight. Okay, so we got that down, right? 14. All right. 3. And he was vitally sanctified by God, the Spirit, when he quickened him into newness of life, united him to Christ, and made his body his temple. Ephesians 2:6. Ephesians 2:6. Doreen.
Ephesians 2:6. The middle of the sentence.
Yeah, go even a...
But God being rich, that's up to...
Yeah, four, yeah.
But God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ.
Okay. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are sanctified by Jesus Christ. And what is the other verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that also makes it just as clear? 2 Corinthians 5:21. Anybody know it off the top of their head? Okay. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So we have to understand something. I want to give you a little clue. There are people who can recite massive verses. I can't do that. What I do, though, is I know where the important ones are, the ones that really matter, the ones that I use every day in my life. You know what it's like? It's like if every day you get up and you've had a car for 5 years, you get in that car, you can turn it, you know from the ignition when you turn it on how the engine sounds, you know if the muffler's doing good. You get a lot because you've been in that car, you know it, okay? The same thing applies with the Bible. If you're in it enough and you use it enough, when something happens in life, you'll listen and something will ring in your head. You may not know exactly where it is, but you'll know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I think that's 2 Corinthians somewhere. And you'd be right. And you would be right to do that. Same scenario. Now you get in a brand new car. Like when I got my truck, I still haven't read my manual. I got things that I don't even know exist that are in that truck for me to use. Why? Because I don't take the time to take the manual out, read it. I have heated seats. I have a lumbar support. I have a message center on my dashboard. It's like, like to me, it's like having an F-16. It's wonderful, okay? But I don't understand it because I don't take the time to do it. You have to understand something. You go to Bible studies. You come to a church that's Bible-based. You read the Bible on your own. And you go to outside Bible studies from the church. The ladies' Bible study is an example. You need to start taking these things and making a list of which ones applied, which ones you would use the most. For example, sometimes you might think, well, you know, I can't get over the fact that I just sinned again, and it was just the other day, and I'm back in it again. You need to understand that you're the righteousness of Christ and that all your sins are forgiven. Colossians 2:12. He died for your sins. Your trespasses are forgiven. And in the one we just read of, that you are the righteousness of God, that your sins have already been paid for even before you commit them. The word efficacy is a theological word. In this sense it is. It means that it has the power to cleanse. Listen, Jesus Christ's blood was shed over 2,000 years ago. And it cleaned your heart, your soul, forgave your sins, and your sins as well. It never loses its power. It never has an end to its depth. It is bottomless, and it will be there until it's no longer needed. So you need to understand that when you look in your Bible, you need to live in this book. You really do. A message coming up a little while, Secret to Life. The whole secret to life is Christ. If you don't have Christ, you got no life. I don't want to get too heavy with that, but anyway, point I'm trying to make, okay, is that you need to write a list. There's not one person in here that has a memory that's worse than mine. Oh, yeah, see? Okay. Let me ask you a question. Let me give you guys a test. How about this test? If you just bought tickets to go to the Red Sox, or the Yankees, and the Yankees were on a burn, or you just got tickets to go to a drumming concert with your favorite drummer, and it was weeks in advance, okay? You would not forget those dates. If you had a date to do something something you really love to do, you would write it down and you wouldn't forget that date. So that's what I'm saying. You may have a bad general memory, but for the things you want to remember, you don't have any problems at all. So you have to really want to remember the Bible. You want to really have to remember verses that will pull your young selves out of the pit that we sometimes fall into. Sin. That's what it's for. That's how God comforts you. When you have a problem, he's with you in the stormiest night of your life, and he protects you. Metaphorically, he takes his self and you're right there, and he just makes sure that you're going to handle everything that happens to you. But you have to claim these things. And so the only way you do it is, and this is what I did. I don't do it anymore because I don't have to. I found a verse. When I found Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. That's not a hard verse for anybody to remember. And that's a verse that I need a lot. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Lord, you promised you were going to keep me in peace. And right now I'm not feeling very peaceful. I want to choke somebody, but I won't do it because I'm a Christian. Help me. And that's how you use it. You have to understand something. You guys can go to Bible studies until you go home to glory. If you're not taking this, when I call out, who knows that? Certain verses. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Who knows what that is? Hands up. Who knows 1 Corinthians 2:14? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 out of 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Half the group knows, half the group doesn't know. That's one of the most important verses in the Bible. Who knows what 1 Corinthians 2:16 is? 1. 1 out of 10. And they go together. 2:14, and this is how I remember it. 1 Corinthians 2:14 is the natural man discerns not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned, and neither can he know them. And 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, and we have the mind of Christ. Boom. That's how you understand. That's how you know you're not a natural man.
I know the verses. I just don't know where they are.
Okay, well, that's good. But they're so simple. They're so simple to just remember, okay? And the other thing is, when you talk to somebody that's unsaved, or even people that are saved, and you're talking in randomness or you're paraphrasing something, I hope you're not talking about salvation or something, because you can't paraphrase it. You have to say it the way it is. So learning these few simple verses, Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with thee.
Beautiful.
Boom. I mean, they're so simple. And what I did initially...
Put it in a more modern version, like...
Oh, yeah, I know. But I'm a King James guy for memorization. I just... Because I always found that a lot easier to memorize.
Yeah.
And so, but what I did was I would write them down on paper. I'd say, well, I want to just... And just keep them in two or three places where you frequent so you can see them. And then after a while, you'll remember them. I didn't even know. I mean, I read it, but it never dawned on me what Jeremiah 29:11 said. I have a plan for your life, a plan for good, that you may have hope. Bingo. I mean, that's the Romans 28 of the Old Testament, 8:28, right? So you have to understand when I ask you, 1 out of 10, 5 out of 10, and all of you here, with the exception of perhaps one, have been around this Bible a long time. And you need to have these things in your mind, because what it means is, to me, as the pastor slash teacher, what it means to me is there are other things that are taking precedence over you having this great knowledge. And it shouldn't be. Life, understand this, life is technical, it's difficult, and living it is time consuming. All of those things are true. Everybody has to eat, sleep. They have to have personal time for personal hygiene, whatever that means. And they have to work. But there should be time sprinkled in between there that this book is a part of your day every day. And I don't care if you just put a little note in your pocket and say, you know what? I'm going to look at this verse all day. Do it. That's how you get God with you every day. And if you're not doing that, start, so that the next time I say, how many of you know the verse, that more hands will go up. Because if they're not going up, you guys aren't, you know, you're on the team, but it's like rowing. Okay, I bought a boat, and when you row, you have to remember that you put the oars in and then you pull back, and a lot of you are just skimming the top of the water. Put those oars in. Take the time to take God with you in verse form, or any way that pleases you, and know that I'm going to do it again. I'm going to ask again. Yeah.
What were some of those?
1 Corinthians 2:14 is a great one to understand. What's it talking about? Why you can't, why you're dead. Ephesians 2:1, why you're dead. You hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. I think it's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. See, you're stretching my mind. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God will blah, 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 blah. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation is overtaking you, but that which is common to man, and with the temptation will come a way of escape. All of these are actual application verses that we can use every day. Right? Yeah. So if I were to get that book right now and I were to ask you, what? Okay, so okay, but I'm asking you. So could I ask you that those verses today, and would you be able to give me them, repeat them, all 20 of them? Okay.
Because I was 16 originally.
Okay.
Yeah, because I.
But here's my point.
Knowing the verses is the most important.
I
not necessarily.
I agree.
Right.
I agree with that.
You need to know that.
Right.
Yeah. I am with you always.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with that. Yeah. What I'm saying though, is that first and foremost of all, the only way you're really going to know them is, and I got to tell you, if you know the verses, if you know what they say, and you don't know exactly what they say, if you paraphrase a verse, and you're just talking to me, I'll get it. But if you go up to a dead person and you talk to them and you paraphrase the verse, okay, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get the extent of that. So when you go up to somebody and they say, "Well, I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus and all that other stuff, it's just that I like to drink a lot." Oh, so what's wrong with that? There was a lot of wine. I mean, he made wine, right? Why not? He was in the wine business. No. Then you can say, "Well, the Bible says the natural man doesn't discern the things of God, neither can he." Because they're spiritually discerned. And what that means is you're a natural man. You're looking at Christ as a man. You're not looking at him as God. You're not looking at the miracle he did at Cana in the proper way. So the point I'm trying to make is, yes, you can have an idea of what they say. But if you really want to, take one of these rows of tiles. That's the narrow path. You can walk anywhere you want on that tile and you're on the path, right? But if you walk dead center to that path, you're closer to God. So what I'm saying is, if you're taking the time to haphazardly remember the words, basically, and not do it a little more exactly, even with the book, chapter, and verse, why wouldn't you do it? Why wouldn't you do that? Take the time. You know how much time you could, you know, when I know you walk a lot, Carrie, you know, you could go out and you could have a verse with you, and you could sit and watch a sunrise over at Wigwam or over at Mount Tom and look at that sunrise and say, "The glory of the Lord." What is that? The one in Psalm 16, the glory of the Lord is displayed in the wonders of the world. In other words, his creation. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
the heavens declared, yeah, thank you. See, there you go. I did the same thing. I didn't know where it was, but I knew what I wanted to say.
I don't know where it was.
Psalm 19.
So what I'm saying to you is, it's important that you really spend more time understanding the word, of course, but putting it in places where you can use it. Because I want to tell you something. I can only tell you this from firsthand experience. I can't speak for any of you other people, just for myself. I can tell you that you cannot really use God's word haphazardly. It has to be used the way it's laid out. Doesn't your prayers, you pray from your heart. Whatever comes out of your mouth doesn't matter what's in your heart. But you have to be able to claim that prayer. God, you promised me that no temptation would overtake me that wasn't common with man, and there would be something that an escape for me. Where's the escape, Lord? The best prayer you'll ever pray is when you pray God's promises back to him. Period.
The Spirit brings you to your mind, too.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the middle of something, he does that with me. Or if I'm debating with somebody on something, you know, Jehovah I'll tell you that. Verses just come one right after another, and I have to sometimes slow down to
That's hard to believe.
So you don't overwhelm, you know?
Jerry. So, Penny, for your thoughts.
Well, when I pray to the Lord, the book and the verse, I'm not, when I'm praying to God, I'm not going, God, put your word in verse, blah, 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 and book, blah, blah, blah. I just pray the verse. Mm. And so, you know, to memorize verses for me has always been a problem. I just don't. On many of them.
I got the verse, but not the location. That's me.
Yeah.
Whatever. And I don't think I have to. I hear what you're saying about the lost. Yes, that would be important. And I could still say the verse to that lost person. But if they want to know where it is in the Bible, I can look it up real quick for them or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's that, you know. I can do that just with someone if I don't know.
Yeah.
Usually I'll know the book, but. Nobody should feel guilty.
Nobody should feel guilty because they don't know the chapter and verse. That's really not even my point. It's good to do.
Catholic priest that did that.
Yeah. But that's cultish. But what I'm saying is, if a person, you know, I hear people tell me all the time, you know, I want to walk closer to God. Okay. And does the chapter and verse mean that you walk closer to God? No. But what happens when you use the Bible every day? You take it with you. You're almost all that the chapter and verse is really just like a tag. That's all that it is. It just tells you where something is. And to me, sometimes I can't even remember the verse, but I remember where it is in my book. You'll open up and say, it's on the right side of Corinthians somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
I got a rough idea of the argument.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, it's okay. But I'm trying to bring home the point, and maybe I'm doing it the wrong way, but I'm trying to bring home the point of this. We should have more of God in our life than we do every day. That's the point I'm trying to make. And I'm saying sometimes the best, I remember Ron, when I talked about this before, Ron had the rubber band on his arm and he'd write verses on it, and that's what he took with him. And every so often he'd take a look at it. Whatever we have to do to bring God with us so that when something happens, because it's for sure it's going to happen. It's absolutely for sure that sometime, either today or tomorrow or within the next week, all of us here are going to have to repent for something. And when that happens, it's less you have to do if you have these verses in your head, because what they do is they keep you in the center of His will. It's very hard. It's very hard to be lustful with your flesh on cars, spending money, whatever it is, whatever the lust of the flesh is, when you have in your mind the thought of God's holiness, when you have a verse in your mind that reminds you of His glory in the world that He created, what He left behind for the world to see. It's hard to commit sin when God is filling your life. Because I got to tell you something. That's a very good analogy. Every single day, you're going to fill your head with something. You are. You're going to fill your head with something. And the more that you fill with God, the less likelihood that you will be tempted or drawn away to do something that's sinful against Him. Period. Yeah. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Whether you use the verses or not, I like to use them, but not always, because sometimes I have to go to the Bible and say, well, I know it's in Corinthians on the left side of the page, and it's highlighted with two notes by it. I remember that, but you think I have the same amount. If I could remember that, why not just remember where it was? But I can't, always.
Right? Well, it's like walking with the Spirit. I think each one of us walk with the Spirit. So when something does come at us during the day, we do have those verses. All right.
Well, Christ said that. Don't worry about what you say
beforehand. That's right.
I didn't forget, Ron. So what? Wait, 1 second.
Yeah.
Okay. So go on your phone and find out where it says that. Don't worry about what you have to say; that you will be given the words to speak. Ron.
I'm like a lot of people here. I know a lot of the verses. I know probably 20, 25 off the top of my head. But the person that means something to me personally, that's why I know him.
Mm.
I don't know a lot, like you said, Jeremiah. I don't know too much about the New Testament, but the difference is the Old Testament. All my verses are New Testament, but like John 4:4 means a lot to me, greater he is in you than he's in the world. Because I'm very easily not a person that's, why do I deserve this sometimes, mm. you know? So that means a lot to me. Jeremiah, certain things have changed. So I remember things that are important to me, but I also know the Romans wrote. Because I used to do, I don't know if I still know, I haven't done it for a while, but I used to know by heart. Because I used to use it for evangelism. So I think all of us know verses, and in our back of our head, we probably don't even know we know, but when we need them,
they're there.
The Lord goes into our minds, and they mm-hmm. talk mm-hmm. about them.
Mm-hmm. So, I agree. Yeah, so. Carrie.
Luke 21:14.
21:14, Tom.
So it literally took like
go ahead and,
seconds.
Go ahead and read it. Go ahead and read it, Jer. Luke 24:14.
Luke 21:14.
Go above it if you have to.
Yeah. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle in, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict.
Who is he talking to?
I would say Israel.
Who's he talking to?
The Jews,
Wait.
Right?
Did you get it?
Oh, he's talking to the disciples.
Yeah, his disciples.
Yeah. Not, and we're his disciples today.
Exactly, yeah. And he's talking about evangelism, right?
He's talking about synagogues, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. and that immediately.
Well, I don't know, I have to read the whole thing to figure out who he's talking
about. You know, they'll lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues, so, you know, it's a,
yeah.
you know, you don't need to worry about that today. That's not going to happen here in the United States. This was an ancient scene, but mm-hmm. the principle applies to us.
Yeah, so, but here's the deal. You have to have that knowledge in your head. You have to have read it, thought about it, because... How many of you here have read the whole Bible? Don't raise your hands, but if you've read the whole Bible, you can't say that, well, I read it, and so it's in there somewhere. But these are things that... No, really, really, it's true. And you know, technically speaking, it is in there. Technically speaking, whatever you see or do is really registered in your brain, because you're wet-wired. And I don't know how that storage works, but you're wet-wired, and that means that it's there. And so, and how do we know that's true? Because people under hypnosis have been brought back to a time in life when they couldn't possibly remember, and they said things that were absolutely spot on.
Do you know the year I was listening to this morning? I go down to the office and sign the computer on Saturday and Sunday just to get whatever degrees. Mm. And I it's just a 10-minute trip, but I pick up R.C. Sproul, and he was talking about a surgeon that he had in Bible college, and the guy went on from there to medical school and became a brain surgeon and really studied the brain. And he said, "Do you know that your mind records everything you have ever learned?"
Yep.
And he said, "But we forget stuff, but everything is in there."
Just what I said.
Isn't that absolutely incredible?
No. No, it's not incredible. Because
well, I mean,
the Psalm says you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
I mean, I'm thinking, I can't remember my first diaper change experiencing that, but it's in there somewhere.
No, I think he said learned.
Yeah, no,
Carrie wants me to tell you that it's in your hippocampus.
In the hippocampus, that's where it is.
Hippocampus.
Yeah. So anyway, but what I'm saying to you is if, especially if we were to take all the ages here and divide them by the number of people, we get an average age. At our age, I'll wait. All right, I'm going to intercede. All right, here we go. Okay, how about now if I interrupt? Okay, so, but the point I'm trying to make is that what Wink said is true, and I know it's true, that we do have everything stored up there, but we can't recall it. That's why it's so important that you review these verses that really have meaning to you. And what Ron said is right on the spot on. Ron's life is and problems are different than my life and my problems or your life and your problems. So what you need to do is you need to have a piece of paper around, and you need to always write down when it occurs to you verses that help you get through whatever is in your world or in your mind or in your day. And by doing that, you'll find that they'll be redundant. There'll be, you might, he has 10 or 12, I have maybe 15 or 20, because I need them so all the time. So you might find it, but you need to record them, and then you need to review them often. And by doing that, you will have a better grasp of the meaning of it. You'll have a you'll have an application to it, so that, for example, if you use one and you're under a lot of pressure and you use that 1 Corinthians 10:13 verse about being tempted, and whenever a person is under stress or whenever a person is under any kind of physical attack, mental attack, they're always under a spiritual attack. Make no mistake about it. The spiritual forces that are arrayed against us are mighty and many, and we have the power over all of them to defeat them, but they usually attack us when we are either sick, mentally discouraged or dissuaded, or when we're having, we're tired, or when we have, or when we have problems that seem insurmountable. Mm-hmm. Wherever, in other words, wherever our faith is being weighed in the balances and it's not hitting a half a tank, whenever that happens, okay, then you are buckle up, because you're going to fight. That's a fight. It's mm-hmm. it's there's no question about it. You're going to be fighting, and the enemy you're going to fight the most may not even be the principalities and powers that are evil, may be yourself. The greatest enemy you'll ever fight mm-hmm. is yourself against God. So what you need to do is you need to have these verses ready. They're like, they really are. They're like a shield. And that shield, these verses are a shield. And when those things come into your head, no, I can do all things through Christ. I'll get through this. Lord, you promised me that that greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. And you're doing that, and instead of, and I'm doing it with my arm facing outwards, but actually it should be inward. I should be just like this, not allowing those things into my head or into my thoughts, because they're what's tempting me. And so we have to always remember that having these scriptures at hand and knowing which ones we need the most in our lives are all going to be different, but they're all useful if we just write them down. Just write them. When you go through something, hey, I used Jeremiah 29:11, because I was really depressed. Like, what is this all about? Why is this happening to me? And I use that to encourage myself, and that's really what it's for. Those verses, Jeremiah says, "I ate your word, and they were like honey to my taste." Right? That's what it means. It means you take God at His word, you put it into your life, and by putting it into your life, there's whatever you need is in there. As a matter of fact, I have an idea to write a book called The Spiritual Pharmacy, an RX of spiritual medicine, because this book is nothing but medicine. And so just another thing to put on the list, but so we should do that. So find out what you use in your life, mark it down, and then start reviewing it. Write the verse down, and just, if you can remember where it is, fine, but just get it down so you can apply it. You can't apply what you don't cry out for. And as you know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Whenever you are under any kind of attack, for some reason, I think it may be, if I had to take a stab at it, it's our native state to always want to pull back and do it ourselves. We don't go to God. We don't go to church. We don't call up brothers and sisters and say, "I don't want you to pray for me. I want you to come here so I can cry on your shoulder. I want you to come here and listen to me because I love you and I need you right now. I got God here, but he ain't doing me good because I'm doing something wrong. I need you to help me." And in doing that, what you do is you have the verses there to help you do that, or not for you, but you have it for somebody else. What does God's word say about comfort? He says he has comforted you so that you're able to comfort others, right? So
that's 2 Corinthians 1. He's showing up.
Okay. Well, in 2 Corinthians, we ought to read that. So anyway, just remember that and make the list up. And I got to tell you, I'm going to go back to this again. It's the dead chicken routine. I'm going to say that till the day I leave this place, or the day I die. The dead chicken routine. You can never understand anything until you see it in front of you, you touch it, you feel it, you smell it, or you eat it. You can't do it. You can look at it, you can imagine it, and as soon as you walk away, it's like you're looking in the mirror, all you see, it goes away. That's it. You have to have it to touch. You have to see it, write it down, put it in different places, because then you see it's your hand that wrote that, and you'll remember it a lot better than if you don't. Any questions or thoughts?
I have a thought. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in the eyes of O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
So what's your point?
My point is, I knew it was in Psalm 19, somewhere in there.
Oh.
But I had to flip through. And when I was flipping through, guess what else I found? Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanses declaring the work of his hands.
That's 103.
That's Psalm 19, verse 1.
119,
right? 19.
There's 119, that was Pastor was saying.
So the first and the last verse.
We have to understand something, that you are a disciple of Christ, and as a disciple of Christ, what it means.
As,
we have to have a talk. Okay, we're done here.